Okay, so let's. This is a work in progress. This and it's a different kind of shiur than I've given on Parshas Bullock in the past. But I wanted to start with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos and try to explain where Chazal are coming from with their idea. So we have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Hey, Mishnah Yud Tes. Kol Mishiyesh Biyado Shlosha Dvarim Alalu Mitalmidav Shel Avram Avinu. If you have these three midos, or if you have these three things in your hand, you are a student of Avraham Avinu. Vishlosha dvarim acherim mitalmidav shel Bilam Harasha. And if you have these other three things, you're a student of Bilam. So what are they? Ayin Tova, Ruach Nemucha, V'nefesh Shfela, mitalmidav shel Avraham Avinu. So if you have an Ayin Tova, good eye, whatever that means, right? You know, in your little league, that's all they yell at you, you know. Good eye, walks as good as a hit. So in the stomach, that's not what it's referring to. And then Ruach Nemucha, a lowly spirit, and Nefesh Shefela, and a lowly soul, or also a lowly spirit. Right? So different, sounds like synonyms. So that makes you a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. Ayin Ra, if you have an evil eye, V'ruach Gavoa, and you have a high spirit, V'nefesh Rechava, and a broad nefesh, a broad soul, Mitalmidav Shel Bilam Harasha. Then you're a student of Bilam HaRasha. Okay, so it's just important to note that I would have thought that if Chazal are going to make a comparison, who are they going to compare and contrast Bilam with somebody? Who are they going to compare and contrast?
Moshe.
Bilam and Moshe, right? They were the arch rivals. They were the, you know, leader of the Jewish people, greatest Navi versus this great prophet of the Umos HaOlam and, you know, and the guy who's trying to, and they're living in the same time period as one another, and they're trying to, you know, trying to curse the Jews. But the Chachamim, for whatever reason, saw it more fitting to contrast Bilam with Avraham Avinu. So I wanted to investigate that a little bit. Let's just finish the Mishnah. So it says, what do the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu get? Ma bein Talmidim shel Avraham Avinu, Talmidim shel Bilam HaRasha. What's the difference between the two? Talmidim shel Avraham Avinu, Ochlin Bolam HaZev, and Ochlin Bolam HaBa. So they eat in this world, meaning they get to enjoy this world, and they also inherit Olam HaBa. Shenemar lahanchil ohavai yesh. Right? That pasuk in Mishlei is also quoted in the last Mishnah in Shas. Right? It says over there, yesh is 310. They're going to give 310 worlds to all of the ohavai. Right? So, okay, whatever. Lamais over here, it says to inherit yesh to all of my beloved, and Votroseim Amale, and I will also fill their storehouses. I mean, I'm going to give them Olam Haba, and I'm also going to fill their storehouses in Olam Hazeh. Aval Tamidim Shel Bilam Arasha Yorshin Gehenim V'Yordim LeBer Shachas. Not only they get Gehenim and Ber Shachas, whatever that means. V'Atoelim Toridim LeBer Shachas Anshidam Emir Lo Yechzu Yemeim V'Ani Eftach Bach. Meaning, first it says they're going to go down to Gehenim and Lo Yechzu Yemeim. They're not even going to live out half their lives. Meaning, they're not going to live a good life in this world. They're not going to live a good life in the next world. So I wanted to discuss, first of all, just the meanings of the Mishnah according to the Rishonim and Chazal, and second of all, just some examples of why I think Chazal sought to contrast Bilam with Avraham specifically. Okay, so for starters, what does Ayin Tova mean? Who knows what Ayin Tova means? What? So it could be seeing the good, right? Or it could be Dan Lekavskos, which is similar to seeing the good. It also means, and it's more commonly known as generosity. Generosity is generally Ayin Tova, meaning you want good for other people. You wish you could be helpful in making sure that other people are receiving good things. And specifically, you want to help facilitate that. And when someone gives you good news, there are people in the world who someone gives them good news, and the first thing they think is, oh, I wonder why that didn't happen to me. Right? That's the first thing they think. They have a very hard time being happy for other people. You know, and that's an Ayin Ra. Ayin Tova means you're very happy when good things happen to other people. So many of the Mefarshim, right, what's the source for Avraham Avinu being an Ayin Tov? Ve'ela bakar ratz Avraham, v'yikach ben bakar rach v'tova, yitin ala nar v'yimahir la so. Right? When Avraham Avinu was being machnes oreach, right, he was bringing in the three malachim into his home. So what does he do? He goes and he brings the best stuff. He gets a ben bakar, rach v'tov, right? Chazal say it was actually talking about three, right? That's why it says ben bakar, rach v'tov, three different lashonos. It's talking about he wanted a shecht three of them, right? Why do you want to shech three of them? So Chazal took the drush even further, and they said he must have wanted to give all of each of them something that only comes once in each of the animals. He didn't want to give them steak. He could give somebody steak for a month or more from one animal, right? But he wanted to give them tongue. That's what Rashi says. He wanted to give them tongue, because, and therefore he had to shech three animals. So you imagine the financial hit Avraham Avinu was taking because he dafka wanted to give something special to these individuals, right? So that's what we talk about, an ayin tova, someone who wants to give good things to other people and he's happy for other people, right? Furthermore, we have the idea of ayin tova and ruach nemucha. The Rashi and the Rambam on their Pirush on Pirkei Avos, they write, it's learned from this pasuk, vayan Avram vayomer hineh noho alti ledaber el Adonai v'anochi afar va'efer, right? So what happens over there? Avraham Avinu is davening for Sodom and Amorah, and he refers to himself, v'anochi afar va'efer. That refers to a person who's very, very humble. A person when he has a ruach nemucha or a nefesh shefala, so he's very humble. And you see, Avraham Avinu refers to himself in the Torah as afar va'efer when he davens to Hashem. Right? And Avos Rabbi Nassim says, that's Rashi and the Rambam say that's referring to Ruach Nemucha. Avos Rabbi Nassim says that's referring to Nefesh Shefala. That person is very humble. But Ruach Nemucha is when Avraham Avinu says to the Bnei Ches, he says, Ger v'soshav anochi imachem, tenuli achuz askeri imachem ve'ekbara meisi milafanai. It means, he says that, what does it mean when a person is Ruach Nemucha? It means that he is humble in front of other people. Right, a person is humble. So Avos Rabbi Nassim, as well as Rabbeinu Yonah on Pirkei Avos, they learn that Ruach Nemucha and Nefesh Shefala are both talking about humility, but Ruach Nemucha is talking about being humble in front of people, and Nefesh Shefala is talking about being humble in front of Hashem. So therefore, when he says Anochi Afar Va'efer, that was talking about Nefesh Shefala, because he was talking to God. Nobody else was privy to that conversation, except us. When he says nefesh shefala, that's when he's talking to Bnei Ches. He says, yeah, I'm just a ger. I'm a ger and a toshav. You know, even though he was like Nesi Elokim atabek kirbenu, they referred to him as Nesi Elokim. You're the local holy man. We all look up to you. And he says, no, ger v'soshav anochi machem. I'm just a guy. You know, who doesn't even really belong here so much. You know, I'm just a passerby who happens to own some land. So this is Avraham Avinu's humility in addition to being Ayin Tov. Now, just in terms of other Rishonim, Rashi learns that Ruach Nemucha, Rashi learns that Nefesh Shefala doesn't mean a lowly Nefesh doesn't mean humble in the classic sense. It means Daito Me'urav Im Abrios. Right, and that's what we learn from the pasuk of Ger v'Soshav Anochi Imachem. Right, what is Daito Me'urav Im Abrios? This is something that the Mishnayos stress. Person should Ruach Abrios Nochehimenu. People should like you. Person should be a likable person. It doesn't mean every person in the world has to be, you know, such a schmoozer and such a party goer. But it does mean that people should like you. There's an inyan of people liking, you know, making sure that you're the type of person that other people, when they think of you, they actually think pleasant thoughts, and they don't think of you, right? It says that's the concept of Ruach Abrios Nocheimenu, therefore Ruach Elokim Nocheimenu. If other people like you, Hashem likes you. And if other people don't like you, Hashem doesn't like you. That's what the Mishnah says, right? Rabbi Willing once referred to that when it says in the halachos of a Talmud Chacham in Yeridaya, it says that a Talmud Chacham is supposed to be Daito Me'urav Im Abrios. Rabbi Willing said it means you're not supposed to be a nerd. So he's saying that people shouldn't think of you as a, it doesn't mean you have to be cutting edge and with every little thing, but it means that you should be holding a little bit, that you can talk to people like a normal person, and people, when they see you coming, they don't run the other way. You know, they don't. You shouldn't be the type of person that nobody wants to have a conversation with. So that's according to Rashi, and that's what we learn from Ger v'Soshav Anochi Imachem, right? And the Rambam takes a little bit of a different approach. The Rambam says Nefesh Shefala refers to Miut Taivas Haguf, that didn't have anything to do with humility, right? Ruach Nemucha had to do with humility, and Nefesh Shefala has to do with Miut Taivas Haguf. Miut taiva saguf means that you're not the person who's running after every taiva in the world, as opposed to Bilam, who was. Right. So how do we know this by Avraham Avinu? Because it says in the beginning of Lech Lecha, Vayik Asher Ekriv Lavo Mitzrayma, Vayomer El Sarai Ishto, Hine No Yadati Ki Sho Yifas Mare Ot. Now I know that you are a beautiful woman. The Gemara in Bava Basra on Tezayin Medal says that we know that beforehand. He says, why? He didn't know this beforehand? He says, no, beforehand they were knowing themselves with tremendous tznius, to the extent that even though Sarai was such a beautiful woman, it wasn't really a part of their relationship. It wasn't a factor per se. He really didn't look much at her from a beauty standpoint. And therefore, Avram was a person who tried to get minimal amounts of physical pleasure from this world, and that's what it means that he was a nefesh shefol. Okay. Now, when it comes to Bilam, see, Bilam's a little harder, because if you just read the text of the Torah, Bilam comes off as a very big tzaddik. You see certain quotes, especially early in the game, right? When you get to meet Bilam, he says, oh, they come to Bilam and they say, we want you to curse the Jews, right? So I know for myself, a lot of times, you know, someone asks me a question and I don't really know the answer. I don't want to say I don't know the answer. It's embarrassing. So I say, oh, I think it's this. Let me just double check, right? So why do I have to say I think it's this? I'm going to double check anyway. You know, just say, I don't know, I'll check, right? So it's embarrassing to say you don't know. Look at Bilam. What does Bilam say? So they say, we want to know, can we go curse the Jews? He says, ah, lino pa alayla. Right? Say overnight, I'll tell you whatever Hashem says. What, are we kidding over here? He says, that's a tremendous humility. Bilam says, I want to tell you right away what Hashem says. Just stay overnight. We're going to see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't say, what. I think, maybe yes, maybe no. He just right away, he just says, lino pa alayla. And then later on, when he asks Hashem, Hashem says no. He says, sorry guys, can't go with you. Then they come back and they say, I'm going to give you more covered. And he says, no, right? Right, even if Balak would give me malo beisok as avizav lo yuchal lavor as p Hashem elokai lasos kitana ogedola. He says even if he give me all his money, I wouldn't be able to go against the word of Hashem to do anything. Again, Bilam, he's looking pretty good here. Like imagine some guy offers you some money to do an avera, and it's a lot of money. It's not like he says I'll give you a dollar. No, I'll give you $1 million to do an avera. No, I would never do an avera. I would never be able to go against Hashem, right, to do anything. So again, we see from Bilam some very humble attitudes. And similarly, we also see from Bilam that when he gets to Balak, he says, ah, listen, I'm here, I came, but you should just realize, whatever Hashem tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And so it's very hard to understand why Chazal had it in for Bilam, but we know that they did, right? There's a Gemara in Chelek, a lot of Gemaras about Bilam in Chelek. So the Gemara in Chelek talks about Bilam, and it says, it lists off all of the people in Tanakh who didn't have a chelik in Olam Haba. Right? So it said, these are the people who didn't have a chelik in Olam Haba. When I was a kid, there was a song, Kol Yisrael Yishalem Chelik Olam Haba. There are a few songs. And then he said, nobody ever made a song out of the second part of the Mishnah. Right? So nobody ever made a song out of Elish Ainlam Chelik Olam Haba. I don't know why. It's a very cheerful topic. But they list off amongst the Hedyotos, amongst the non-kings who didn't have a chelik in Olam Haba, so they list off Bilam as one of them. And then the Gemara comments, I forgot who said it, Mar Bravashi maybe? I forgot. So he said, Lekulu lo tafis lemidrash lebar mi Bilam Arash. He says, with all of them, all the other kings, as big Rishon as they were, don't try to darshan anything extra bad about them. Whatever they did wrong, that's what it says in the Tanakh. But don't try to like cheshbon more of errors that they really did, except for Bilam Arash. Right? Because whatever you can darshan Bilam Arash, you should darshan for the bad. Whatever you can find in there, you dash it for the bet. And this is different than what we spoke about in Rashi a few weeks ago, that Rashi characterizes individuals, bad guys always bad, good guys always good. This is much more extreme. Much more extreme. And why did Chazal have it in for Bilam? So there's another Gemara in Chelek, which lends a lot of light to this issue, which is that the Gemara says, we know Bilam ben Beor. So we know who Bilam was. Who was his father? Who's this Beor? So the Gemara has a very interesting comment. It says, Tanahu Ba'or, quote a Brisa, this Ba'or is the same person as Cushan Rishasayim, who love an Arami. It says that Bilam ben Ba'or, really Ba'or is the same as love an Arami. So if you do a cheshbon with the years, it's a little off. And I'm sure the Tanaim and Amaram understood this very well. But so I don't know that Dafka, what Chazal meant to say over there was that Lavan Arami was Bilam's actual biological father. A lot of times, especially in the way the Gemara looks at it, they'll tell you, oh, this fellow, his name was this in the Torah, but his real name was something else, and they only gave him this name to explain that because he's like this. Right? A lot of times, names in Tanakh, I don't believe, are the actual name of the person, historically speaking. That, like, if you would go back in time and you would see the person and you'd see what his parents called him, it's Lav Dafka that they called him by that name. Right? It's a part of a larger discussion. But names in Tanakh are not names stam. They're descriptions of the character of the individual. There's important things you need to know about the person. That's why I say Yisro had seven names. His parents gave him seven names. Maybe. It could be true. I don't know. I wasn't there. But Pashto says, and Rashi says it this way. He says, no, each one of the times he's called in Tanakh by a different name, it's to express a different midah about his personality. Right? Not because he actually had seven names. Moshe Rabbeinu had many names. A lot of people in Tanakh, Eliyahu HaNavi and Pinchas were the same person. So there already you get certain agadatas, which are mashma. You're supposed to take that literally. That Eliyahu HaNavi and Pinchas were the same person. When you try to be mashma, Eliyahu HaNavi was a Kohen. But Lamaisa, you could also understand very well, Eliyahu HaNavi and Pinchas were both Kanaim. And, you know, because we know that Divrei Torah, Aniyim B'Mokam Echer, Ashirim B'Mokam Acher, so a lot of times you're not going to get a full profile of one versus the other unless you read both. So if you want to get a full profile of Pinchas, you want to get a full profile of Eliyahu HaNavi. So Chazal are telling you, look at Pinchas and use the same glasses when you look at Pinchas to analyze Eliyahu HaNavi also, and vice versa. You know, again, not necessarily the only way to understand it. It certainly could be taken literally, but Lamaisa, we find this a lot. So we say Bilam was the son of Lavan Arami. So really, was he the son of Arami? Efshir, but Efshir also not. So what did Chazal mean to say? They said, if you want to understand what is up with Bilam, you have to look at Lavan first. And you understand what he's all about. What's Lavan all about, guys? What's Lavan's thing? What's his midah? What's his...
Sheker,
right? Sheker, but it's more than just Stam Sheker. It's that... there's certain people, you know, like the Mesil Sharm writes about certain Bali Gaiva. So some people Stam Bali Gaiva, and some people, they're not only big Bali Gaiva, but they're Bali Gaiva ad kedei kach, that they're not going to be satisfied unless the whole world thinks that they're the world's biggest anav. Right? That's, there's a new internet term for that called humble brag. Right? You know, like, you get up there and... you know, people start saying nice things about you, and you say, no, please stop, you're killing me, it's very embarrassing, I can't handle it, you know, as you're egging them on to say more. But I call it a humble brag. Like, that's the new mahalach in life, you know. I always wait for the witty retorts that whenever they introduce a new speaker, and they, like, basically everyone's the gadol ador when he's a speaker somewhere, or is having a simcha. So I always wait for the witty retort that the person has, you know, when the person gets up there to speak. You know, certain speakers have certain go-to lines. You know, I've heard the same speaker say many, many times, after an introduction like that, I can hardly wait to hear what I have to say. So, something to that effect. And they're not trying to be, you know, they're not trying to be Bali Gaiva. It's just the nature, you know, it's the nature of, that's how you play the game. But Lamaisa, there is such a thing, you know, as such a personality. So Lavan was not only a person who basically did whatever he wanted, but it was important to him that he always be right and he always be the one who was more justified than the other one. It was important to him. It wasn't just important to Lavan that he do what he wants and make up stories when he wants and go against whatever other people wanted, but it has to be because I'm the one who's really doing the right thing, and you're wrong for trying to think otherwise. Like, he tricks Rachel. He says to, you know, Yaakov, you know, you're going to work for Rachel, and then he says he gives her Leah instead. He says, oh, maybe by you they have this krum minig to give away the younger daughter first. That's not how it is by us, right? He's saying, well, who's the one who's in the wrong here, Yaakov? You or me? I'm the one doing the right thing. First of all, you never heard of minig ha-makom? It's chashuv. You should learn about it. Second of all, like, what kind of nonsense? You're bringing in this craziness of marrying the younger daughter for the older daughter. It's ridiculous. And again, he comes, he chases Yaakov Avinu down at the end, and he says, you should know I have the ability to harm you right now, but I would never do so because a malach came and told me that I shouldn't kill you. Right? He's saying things like that. He's always explaining why what he's doing is right. And we never even get a glimpse of it because on the outside, you never hear anything about it. And all of a sudden, at the time, when he chases Yaakov down at the end of Parshas Vayetze, then Yaakov just lets him have it. And Yaakov just lets him have it. And he talks about it. You've been cheating me all these years. You did all these horrible things to me. And I worked so hard for you. And this is what I got in return, et cetera, et cetera. And then Laban, does he deny any of it? No, he's like, fair enough. But well, I'm just telling you, you should realize, you know, that, you know, we're going to make a treaty and we're going to be nice to each other here too far. Okay. Right, so you see that what Yaakov said to him was actually emes because he doesn't deny any of it. So, but on the outside, had Yaakov Avinu himself not, quote-unquote, reported this, we would have never known it, because on the outside, he's such a great guy. And the same thing really with Bilam. We find by Bilam that there's, he really, on the outside, is such a great guy, such an Eved Hashem. So the simple point, I think Rav Neventzel points this out, and he has a beautiful piece on Pars Balak that a lot of these, this current idea is based on, and he says, if you look at Bilam, you know, if you look at what a tzaddik is all about, a tzaddik is all about wanting to do the Ratzon Hashem, right? So what do you have? You have a person who, he comes to the rabbi, and he says to the rabbi, listen, I know you work for the OU, so you're a person who is in charge of kashrus. So I accidentally bought this boar's head ham. I thought I was buying kosher meat, but it said kosher deli on the outside, but it just meant like style of deli. It didn't mean the meat is actually kosher, so I ended up buying a boar's head ham at a kosher deli. And I know you have one of those OU stamps in your desk drawer. So, and I'm a person, I only eat the finest hashgachas. So if it's possible for you to stamp an OU on the ham so I could eat it, that would be very, very helpful. The rabbi's like, I'm sorry you think this, but it's not really how kashrus works. You don't actually bless the meat. But, right, except during the 9 days. That's the one time we bless the meat. That makes it kosher. So he says, we don't really bless the meat. That's not how it works. So the guy's like, yeah, I know what kashrus is. I've learned Yoredeia backwards and forwards. I know everything. It's just, I don't really care. I just, but I have policies. A man's got to have some standards in life. So I don't even eat these questionable hashgachas. I only eat the best hashgachas. So maybe if you have maybe it's not good enough. If you have a bedatz, Eid HaCharedis, maybe you could stand with that. So he's like, no, you're not understanding. Like, it's not going to be kosher no matter what I do to it. He's like, who's talking about kosher here? I don't eat things without rabbinical supervision. That's my point. Like, it doesn't say the rabbanim have to supervise it and it's kosher. That's crazy. You know, I require permission from the rabbis to do this. So give me the permission and I'll be on my way. Right? So you realize the stupidity of this conversation. You know, you have this guy, Bilam, and he is, you know, he's in a position where he knows the Ratzon Hashem. He comes to Hashem and he says, oh yeah, there's this fellow Balak. And he told me, you know, there are these people, they're called the Jews. I don't know if you ever heard of them. They're called the Jews, right? And they came out of Mitzrayim. Gee, I wonder how they came out of Mitzrayim. You think Bilam was the only guy in the world who was a Navi who didn't realize that there were 10 Makos and there was a Kriyas Yamsuf and there was a Matan Torah, right? There are other Midrash and they talk about how Bilam reacted during Matan Torah. But Lameisa, he knew about all of this. He was very much privy, right? You know, what does he call himself later on in the Parsha? So he says, Nu'um shomea imre kel asher machse shaka yechzeh nofel uglu enayim, right? I'm the guy who knows what God is thinking. I'm the guy who knows what God is saying. Like, I know God, right? So you never heard of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You never heard of Kriyas Yamsuf. You never heard of Matan Torah. He heard of all of it. So yeah, you should realize that these people, they're the Jews. And Lamaisa, they want me to curse them. They've been winning all these wars. They've defeated Sichon and Og. That's very interesting. I wonder how that happened. And they want me to curse them. So what does Hashem say back to him? He says back to them, no. But he didn't just say no. He says, again, Rashi has a very important shot here, but just to add to it a little bit, he says, lo zeleichi mahem, don't go with them. Lo sa'or sa'am, ki baruch hu. Right? Don't go with them. Don't curse a nation. Why? Because they are blessed. Well, just say no. No is no. So then he's saying, I'm telling you right now, I don't want you to do this. And not only that, but I want also you to realize I want the Jews to be blessed. So therefore, there will never be a time where I will want you to curse the Jewish people. That's not something I'll ever want. So if it would ever happen that you could get the answer you want out of me, realize my rutzon is the opposite of what you're asking. So there will never be a time where it will be appropriate for you to curse the Jews. So if you ask me next time, you already know what I want. And yet, they send back another delegation. They say, we're going to give you more. It's going to be better. right? And he says, no, people, you don't understand. I can't go against the word of Hashem. I only eat the finest tashkachas. If Hashem says no, then no is no. I don't go against it. Right, I'm sure, you know, you've heard of some kids in high school who might have been a little bit rebellious, and they say to their parents, I want to go to this party. Well, what's going to be at the party? I don't know. I'm sure, you know, lots of, mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim and all kinds of excellent things. So the parents are like, we don't think it's a good idea for you to go there. We don't think this is a good place for you. Okay, so they said, we don't think it's a good place for you. So does that mean that you'll never get a yes out of them? You might, if you become annoying enough. You might get a yes out of them. If you bother them enough times, you start 2 weeks in advance, and then you talk about all the things that you're going to do if they let you go. And of course, I'm going to behave really nicely. And of course, you know, I'm going to do all my siblings' chores, you know, for the next month. And I'm going to, whatever, I'm going to learn five mesechtas between now and then and whatever. You make a whole list of things. And your parents might just get annoyed enough at you. They say, you want to go? Go. Did that change their rutzen in any way? Did that make you a better son because you managed to get the word you were looking for out of their mouths? It's just saying, at the end of the day, they're tired of being annoyed by you. It's not exactly working back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they're tired of being annoyed by you, and they're saying, we've made our will known to you. We've done our job as parents to try to guide you in the right direction. We're not police officers. We're not going to lock you to your bed. You know, you can go if you want to go. We're not going to stop you physically. But just keep in mind that no matter what deal you cut with us, that's never going to be what we want. That's not what we want for you. We want better things than that for you. So just because your parents, oh, I would never go without my parents' permission. I'm a good son. You might not ever go without your parents' permission, but you're a really lousy son. Because you, much more important than getting your parents' permission is actually being the way they want you to be. So that's the difference between a person like Bilam, or that's a similarity between Bilam and a person like Lavan. Where I would never go against what seems to be the right thing to do. I always need permission. I always need a pass, right? It says to the Malach, you know, the Malach standing there on the road, Karbu Shluva Biyado, he's ready to kill him, right? What happens? He says to the Malach, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't see you there. Oh, if what I'm doing right now is bad in your eyes, no, he says bad in your eyes, right? It's a good shtuck to the Malach. He's like, maybe you didn't get the heavenly memo that I actually have permission to do this. So if what I'm doing is bad in your eyes, then I'll go back. You say the word. You be the one to go against Hashem. I'm not going to be the one to go. Hashem said go. I'm going. Say you don't care what Hashem says. Then tell me to turn around, and I'll turn around. I would never go against your word, Mr. Malach. Who am I, a lowly servant of Hashem? Right. So what? Bilam doesn't get the message. He really thinks this Malach is going without the Shlichas of Mashalom. I assume Bilam understood how Malachim work a lot better than I understand how Malachim work. And I assume he knows that Malachim don't just go rogue. They do the Shlichas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them to do. Saying, he got the message loud and clear. This is not the Ratzon Hashem. Ad Kidei Kach, that Hashem actually wants to kill you. He's not going to kill you. He's going to let you do whatever you want. But I'm giving you another message. Rashi says it was Malach Gavril, Malach Rachamim. Try to take mercy on Bilam, saying, I'll give you one last chance to turn around and do the right thing. He says, no. This is what Hashem told me I'm allowed to do, and this is what I'm going to do. It's all about him. It's nothing to do with the Ratzon Hashem. Just in terms of the concept of, I'm not going to go through all the psukim, the concept of Ayin Ra, right? Where it says, Vayisa Bilam es Einav, Vayar Yisrael Shochin Leshvatav. Rashi points out over there, he wanted to give him an Ayin Ra, right? And similarly, the flip side, right? The Midah Tova of Istapkus that Avram Avinu had, that he wasn't such a Baltaiva, right? So he says just the opposite. So the Ram says an actual very strange thing. He says, because we know, the Gemara tells us, and also it's alluded to in the Psukim, that Bilam was the one who gave the Eitzah for the Benos Midyan to be Mezaneh together with the Bnei Yisrael, get them to worship Baal Peor, right? So he says, who would think of such an Eitzah? Only a person who himself was a tremendous Baal Taiva, right? The old saying, it takes one to know one, right? So he said, a person who himself was a tremendous Baal Taiva thinks, oh, how are we going to get the Jewish people to give in on this one? It's because they're going to give in to their Taivas, because he's a person who's a tremendous Baal Taiva. He was always thinking along those lines. Other Rishonim learn it from the fact that he says, Mitin Lebolok Melo Veso Kesef Vizav, that he was a Nefesh Rechava. He's saying this is something that he wants. I spoke about that last week on Shabbos, right? So same idea that you know, he has examples of Ruach Gavoa that he he was arrogant to the shluchim that Balak sent the first time, right? Or perhaps, like he said, the lashon of the pasuk, nu'um shomer imre kel. It's very important to keep in mind that out of all the times in Tanakh, it says nu'um. The Navi says nu'um a lot, right? What does it always say? Nu'um? Nu'um Hashem. So it always says nu'um Hashem. A Navi is the one talking, but he always says nu'um Hashem, right? There's one other time where David HaMelech says nu'um David, but it's really, if you read it in context, it is nu'um Hashem, right? The only time it ever says nu'um something besides Hashem is by Bilam. He says, everyone else says nu'um Hashem, Bilam says nu'um this guy, right? Nu'um Bilam b'no b'or, nu'um agev shesum ayin, right? Nu'um shomeim rekel. He says, I'm the guy, this is my declaration, right? That's what they point out, the Rishonim would say that it means to be an anav in front of the Rabbanu Shalom. That's an example of how he was arrogant in front of the Rabbanu Shalom himself. You know, so this is again more examples of this. I just want to do a little bit, end off a little bit of a contrast between, you know, some of the basic storylines that just, these are the things that I was thinking about it since yesterday. Some of the things that popped into my head in terms of the contrast between Avraham and Bilam. So first of all, we spent a little bit of time trying to discuss that Bilam only cared about what he was commanded. What do we know about Avraham? Mishnah at the end of Kiddushin says, Avraham Avinu is mekayim kol torah kula ad shelo nitna. It's just the opposite. Avraham Avinu didn't care what he was commanded. Avraham Avinu only cared what the Ratzon Hashem was. Right? L'man asher yitzav es banav achrav, right? Eikav asher yishmor es mishmarti chukosai es horasai. I'm not saying it right, but that's the basic quote from the pasuk that Chazal learned, that Avraham Avinu was mekayim kol torah kula ad shelo nitna. Why did he say he's mekayim kol torah kula? Because all he cared about was the Ratzon Hashem. He didn't care about the tzivui Hashem. He was the einam mitzuva viyosa until Maimed Har Sinai. He had made one seed where he'd do a bris mila. That was it. But he's mekayim kol Torah because he cared about the ruts on Hashem. He was able to discern and decipher the ruts on Hashem, whereas Bilam only cared about the word of Hashem. The ruts on Hashem was meaningless to him. It was just the opposite. Similarly, we find by the Akedah, if you look, you can contrast the Akedah very, very closely with Bilam's little shlichus over here. Right? The Akedah. So each one saddles his own donkey. Chazal point out it's a little inappropriate. The Bilam had a female donkey, and Avram had a male donkey, right? So he's saying that each one saddled his own donkey. By Avram Avinu, ha'ahava mekalkelis es ashura. By Bilam, ha'tsina mekalkelis es ashura. They wanted to dafka do it. Rishlichus, right? It says, vayakam Bilam baboker, vayashkem Avram baboker. Bilam got up in the morning. Avram got up early in the morning. Again, contrasting them, each one took two na'arim with them. Right, Rashi quotes the Gemara: the Mechashev should not go out without at least two people escorting him. Right. Similarly, we find that at the Akedah, Avraham Avinu was willing to give up everything he had ever dreamed of, everything he wanted and asked Hashem for. Never asked Hashem for money. Hashem promised him money. Never asked Hashem for anything except a son, and he was willing to give up his son if that's what Hashem wanted. Bilam, just the opposite. He was only doing it for the money. He said straight up, you can't go against the word of Hashem, but, you know, doing it for the money. And every time this sin gets mentioned in anywhere in Tanakh, it always talks about, and they hired Bilam, and they hired him, they hired Asher Sachru, they hired him. Right? It always talks about that Bilam Dafka did it for the money. Right? Avraham Avinu never asked for anything, and not only that, but when Hashem wanted him to give up everything, he was willing to give it up. And Bilam was not. Bilam was Dafka willing to go against Hashem specifically for what was in it for him, right? Avraham says, gets to the place, Vayaris HaMakom Yerachok, and what does he say? Shvu Lachem Poim HaChamor, Rani Vanar Nelcha Ad Ko, right? He saw, right, Rashi points out over there, he saw some climbing of a cloud hovering over the mountain, he saw the place, he said to Yishmael, he said to Eliezer, what do you guys see? They see a mountain. He says, no, I see more than that. Okay, you guys stay here. Just like the Chamor doesn't see, you don't see. Shvu Lachem Poim HaChamor. Right? Okay. What do we have in this week's parasha? Just the opposite. Who sees? Bilam's donkey sees. Bilam doesn't see. Right? Bilam saw what Hashem showed him. Right? There's a big shtach to Bilam that Hashem opened his eyes like that and allowed him to see. Right? First Hashem allows the donkey to see. Bilam doesn't know what's flying. And then on the flip side, all of a sudden, Bilam sees too and he realizes, I think I'm the big seer. Right? We see by Shmuel, Anochi Haroah. Right, he got a little bit punished for saying Anochi Haroah, right? So, but Bilam thinks he's the big seer. Hashem says, no, You think you see anything? You see what I show you. So I can make a donkey see what you can't see. Just the opposite by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu sees. Right? The donkey doesn't see even in the end. Even Hashem doesn't have to show Avraham Avinu anything. He sees it on his own because he's going to do the Ratzon Hashem. He uses everything that he has to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? Also, when we find that Avraham Avinu davened for the Anshei Sodom, he says, here are these people who are completely unworthy. Right? They're completely unworthy. And Avraham Avinu says, no, I don't want to see you destroy them. I care about others. Avraham Avinu, all he did was daven for other people. Bilam, just the opposite. He's trying to curse the Jewish people. Did they deserve to be cursed? Did they deserve to be? Hashem already told them they don't deserve it. Bilam wanted to put an ayin ra on them. He looks down. He sees Matovu Alecha Yaakov Mishkan Osecha Yisrael. He sees the tznius with which they had. And what does he do? He says, no, we got to bring preaches to these people. He sees the tznius. He sees the fact that nobody could see into anybody else's tent. Right? And he says, oh, these people, the only way we're going to get them to sin is if we bring preaches to them. Meaning he wants to corrupt the people who were not yet corrupt. Avraham Avinu looks at people who are already corrupt and he says, let's save them anyway. Maybe they'll be chozer b'tshuva. Maybe they'll be better. And Bilam says, no, just the opposite. Let we see people who are not corrupt, let's corrupt them. Similarly, Avram sees the three Anashim. He doesn't realize they're Malachim. They look like Arabs. They're Mishtachav Elavak Ragleim. They're lowly creations of humanity. And he sees them, and he wants to bring them in. He takes compassion on them. He says, let me take good care of you. Let me do everything for you. Bilam, he has a donkey, and the donkey tells him, we're old friends, Bilam. Forgetting about the fancy medrash about what was going on between them. But Lamaisa just Poshim Shad. I've been your donkey. You've ridden me for everywhere. We've been together for so long. And you, the second I do something you don't like, you beat me mercilessly. See, you see the difference in the cruelty of Bilam as opposed to the compassion of Avram. Avram wants to save Sodom and Amorah. He doesn't know these people. Avram goes to war to save everybody, right? He saved everybody from Sodom just to get back one thing. He puts his own life in danger. Bilam, you know, he goes and tries to corrupt, he tries to get what's in it for him, and then Avram says, what's the money situation going to be? I only want the people who went with me to be paid back for their losses. I don't want to take a penny. Bilam says, no, you give me all the money in the world, you know, and then I'll do it for you. Just to close, you know, we mentioned at the end of the Mishnah, what does he get? He gets goodness in this world, he gets goodness in the next world, right? There's a klal gadol, eino demeis v'chatzi tavaso biyado, the Gemara tells us. A person doesn't die having accomplished even half of what he wanted to accomplish in this world, having accomplished even half of his taivas. Except for a certain select individual, such as Avraham Avinu, where it says, Vayamas Avraham zakein v'saveya. He was old and he was saveya, he was satisfied. Rashi points out that also means that by the time Avraham Avinu died, both of his sons were tzaddikim. But in addition to that, it means that Avraham Avinu not only got to experience, obviously, the heights of Olam Haba, but when he left this world, he looked back and he had no regrets. You know, can you imagine such a thing? There's very few, if anybody else, in all of Torah or all of the humanity who we can say. They looked back and they said, you know what, Amamish, if I had to live my life over again, pretty much would have done the exact same thing. That's amazing, if you think about it. Ain't that amazing? Chatzi tavasa biyado. And yet, Bilam, the person who spent his entire life running after that, Avram didn't run after it for a second. Bilam spent his entire life running after that, just the opposite. Not only does he not, obviously, he has no chelik in Olam Haba, as the Mishnah tells us, but as Bilam ben Beor hargu becharev, he's killed a misa mashuna, right? Lo anshe damim mirma lo yechtsu yumeyim. He didn't even live out half of his years, right? He says he wasn't even meis bechatzi tavaso biyado. He didn't even get half of what he wanted in this world, and obviously he got nothing in the next world. So why are we supposed to study these characters so closely? Chazal are telling us you have to be a Talmud, right? You have to know what's the good way to be, and you also have to know what's the bad way to be in order to run away from it. That's why that's one of the main reasons why we're supposed to study characters in Tanakh, and we should learn to emulate the tzaddikim and to abhor the rishayim because we want to learn the midos of Abraham, the midos of Bilam. So hopefully we can understand that. Chazal realized that the Torah was giving over this contrast for us to learn from, not necessarily between Dafka Moshe Rabbeinu and Bilam, but between Avraham Avinu and Bilam, that they really were the polar opposites of one another, so we can study how to be more and more like Avraham Avinu and how to be less and less like Bilam.